Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Can you start with an injury update, specifically Mitch, Marquez, and then I guess Javon and Quentin also?
Yeah, I'll run down the list here.
Okay.
That way we'll capture everyone, hopefully, on the first go. All right. Mike Edwards is safety. He'll do walkthrough and individual this week, or parts of individual. The same with Cole Bishop, and the same with Nick Morrow. No change with Travis Clayton. We're targeting later this week, potentially, for Casey Tuhill to return. Mitch and MBS will be out multiple weeks, as well as Quentin Morris, who is currently undergoing further evaluation. Javon Solomon and Austin Johnson will be limited this week. We'll see how they do today. Damar Hamlin with the hamstring is week to week. Lawrence Keys is improving. And then Baylen Specter and Curtis Samuel are both week to week.
What was the Curtis one an extension of last week when I believe he was like didn't practice on Wednesday or Thursday or something?
Yes, he's dealing with a turf toe situation.
Okay. I mean, as far as Mitch is concerned, a week to week injury, is this now something that you guys need to address? Are you guys planning on going out and potentially adding another quarterback if those conversations started?
They've begun. We're not. You know, they haven't concluded though, really, Matt. So we're working on it. I know Brandon's working on it with his staff. So it is something we need to keep our eye on for sure. And we'll continue to do that.
And then just with the safety position, I guess, so Cole and Mike both coming back in some capacity this week, step forward. Damar, though, now week to week. How do you guys prepare that position with so much continuous, kind of like a revolving door, as we get so close to the season?
Yeah, that's one of the challenges we have, both at safety and at linebacker, where there's pivotal pieces that have not been able to rep, whether it be, you know, completely from the spring and training camp included, or for sure, in some cases, a lot of the majority of training camp. So it's a challenge. You know, we'll find our way through it. The biggest challenge is having a player hurt is one thing, but having a new player hurt who doesn't know what we're doing, you know, systematically is another challenge. So we're trying to capture every rep we can, just using them in walkthrough this week, because we're getting closer and closer to the season here.
Yeah. Hey, Sean, might be a little premature for this, but do you have any plans this week as far as if the starters will play. Do any of the injuries you sustained this past week impact that? Where you are with that decision at this point?
Right. So we're going to, you know, initially the plan was to play the ones this week because of the injuries and the lack of availability. We're going to play, we're going to pull, take the ones out, play the other guys, take a good look at them. It should be a good opportunity for them to put their best foot forward and for us to have a strong evaluation of that part of the roster.
All right. And could you give me your evaluation of the offensive line this past week? You got a little bit going in the running game. I think you touched on it in your post-game comments. Could you give me your evaluation of the offensive line and how they performed?
Well, I thought when you look at the film in the first half, even though we didn't have the success on the scoreboard, maybe there was some really good things offensively, including in the offensive line group. And what you need on offense is you need all 11 guys doing their job at a very high level to execute just one play. And that's where we broke down. And then we, you know, if you look at pre-snap penalties over the course of the preseason, I think we've, by our math, I think we've had 7 drives stall out due to pre-snap penalties out of the 20 that we've had. So that's almost half, right? So we're doing some good things, but we're also shooting ourselves in the foot overall. So we've got to pick up that pace in terms of the discipline pre-snap.
Different topic. Have you made a decision on defensive play calling for the regular season?
No, I have not, Ryan. You know, probably next week is what I'm targeting at this point.
All right. And then go back to the injuries for a second. The opener's 3 weeks away. How concerned are you about your frontline guys, but also some of your depth players being banged up?
No, it's a real concern. You know, if I could change it, I would, but we can't, so we won't. And, you know, right now we've got to be solution-oriented. And as coaches, we're going to try and get, like I said, those guys that we can that can do the walkthrough. They're going to do the walkthrough today and get some of those reps. That's all we can do right now with some of those guys. And so it's better than nothing, you know, which is where some of them were. So there is some progress in some areas. The hard part is we brought, you know, we're starting to get some movement and some progress from a couple, but we also lost a couple in the game the other night too. So, you know, that's football. And, you know, so it's a constant communication piece for us of who's coming back. What can they do physically in practice so that they can get whatever they can get?
Last thing for me, Sean, does that impact how you practice this week?
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, again, like I said, we were going to play the ones this week or a portion, a majority of the ones. And with the injuries, it's just not the best thing to do right now for the team. So we'll cut back, pivot, and then play, like I said, the twos and threes and take a good look at them. And like I said, it presents an opportunity for those guys to really get a lot of plays and get some exposure, not only to offense and defense, but special teams as well.
I know everybody always talking about the turnover that Josh Allen has experienced, but probably for the first time in your tenure here, you had to deal with a lot of turnover as a staff. So, you know, how has that been for you dealing with so much turnover within your staff?
I love our staff. They're working hard. They've been very unselfish to this point, and there's been a great deal of collaboration and constructive conversations that have gone on. So, you know how important that is, Mookie. You're a coach yourself, right? So, we kind of have a similar job.
Absolutely, absolutely. And talking about that job, man, Joe Andreessen. I'm already know you got the scout report, All-Western New York, offensive lineman, middle linebacker out of the powerhouse Lancaster High School. Also a wrestler. I know you love that. But how does having that experience and refining those tools help translate in what you saw out of him on Saturday?
Well, listen, I thought Joe did a phenomenal job, you know, and what a story for Buffalo and for all the young football players in Buffalo. They get a chance to look up to this young man who's playing for the Buffalo Bills, his hometown team. And I mean, what an awesome story, right? For you guys, for the community. He's worked extremely hard. I mean, I know how hard he works in the summer and what football means to him. And he's just a phenomenal young man off the field, and he's done a tremendous job on the field. And, you know, we named him the starter. It was, hey, we'll see what he can do. And it wasn't too big for him. He went out there, made plays, and, you know, very impressed with what he did. And so, you know, we're looking forward to him getting another shot this weekend, and this time at home, and maybe in front of a few more fans for him. So it's a great story, and we're super proud of Joe.
Absolutely, Coach. One more, if I can. Man, again, this was probably the first time you really have to evaluate twos and threes, kind of like in your, you know, being your first year at head coach all over again, right? So how important is it to evaluate those guys, you know, just to produce, to see what can you have as far as quality depth going forward?
Well, that's important because, you know, you do have players that go down during the season. We've experienced that. And, you know, we do it every year. We evaluate the twos and threes every year. So I think we do a really good job of developing players so that, you know, we get players that come on our roster that, you know, maybe other people didn't value. And then we develop them. They do a great job of learning our systems. And then they're, you know, next thing you know, they're making a team. So that history is there. And we're really excited about seeing these guys this weekend. But even before we do that, you know, we're going to rep our ones this week in practice and cut back a little bit on the reps in practice because of the availability and the numbers. But the twos and threes are going to get a good look this weekend.
You talked a lot last week, yourself and Joe, about giving Ben DiNucci kind of a limited menu to work off of, given he was so new. Can you do kind of the same thing with a guy like Joe Andreessen, who he's been around for a couple of months, but still obviously his first NFL start?
Did we do that last week, you mean, Nick? Or?
Yeah, for a guy like that, a middle linebacker type.
Well, I mean, the game plan in preseason overall, normally it's rather streamlined to where we can get a good evaluation on the players and in terms of allowing them to play fast and not think a lot. Having said that, though, Joe has done a good job. I mean, he was a tryout player in May, I believe, give or take, right? So, I mean, he gets the chance and look what he's done with it. So we didn't really have to do anything, cut anything back for Joe. Now Ben, in fairness to him, he'd only gotten here, you know, a couple of days before we left for Pittsburgh. So I thought he did a really good job as well, leadership wise, command in the huddle. Albeit we didn't throw the ball a lot, or you know, we were able to run the football in the second half quite well there. So, which was good to see, our physicality and our toughness. So, but overall, been real impressed with both those guys.
You guys got Spencer Brown on the move quite a bit Saturday, and kind of something you guys did last year with him and Dion. What has that added to your running game? Just involving your tackles on pulls and get them moving and using their athleticism.
Well, you know what? It's a little bit different, right? A lot of people pull their guards. Some people pull their tackles. We probably pull our tackles just as much. But either way, you know, they're athletic, and as are our guards. And so I think it presents an opportunity for us to do some things from time to time. And Coach Cromer and Coach Brady do a great job.
And then Greg Rousseau is, you know, predominantly played on at left defensive end his first couple of years. He kind of moved around a little bit more and seems like he's back there a little bit more this year. From your standpoint, what makes that a little more comfortable for him?
That side, did you say? You kind of broke up. That side. Broke up again. I'll assume you're asking both sides or just one of them, or one side.
Like what makes the left side so comfortable for Greg?
Well, I mean, he's been kind of raised that way, right? When we first got here, playing both sides, sometimes you have to do that. And I think really that flexibility is important. You'll meet some defensive ends that all they do is play one side, and then, I mean, how many players can you have that just play one side, right? So same thing, you know, at different positions along the set in the secondary, corner in particular being one of them. So you'd rather have a player that can play both sides. Naturally, one side is going to be maybe a little bit better than the other. And so you try and pair that up as best you can with who they're in with.
You know, with Mitch, I guess to start, what have you made of the two games that he's played, your evaluation of, you know, what he's put on tape?
Yeah, I think we've been able to move the ball at times, but not enough. And some of that really drives are stalling or we're getting off schedule and making it really hard to move the chains or get into a rhythm because of the pre-snap penalties. So I'll start there. But overall, I think Mitch has done some really good things. And then, you know, the other night, I'm sure there's some plays he wants back as well. And, you know, so, you know, and listen, it is kind of the life of a backup in this situation, the role that he's currently in with us, to go in at a moment's notice. And in fairness to him, you know, and I only really made the call to not play Josh in pregame warmups when I saw the conditions due to the weather that had come through. So, I thought there were some things he did well. And then I'm, you know, honestly, some things he wants back also.
Have you ever faced anything like this before or seen anything like this before where your main backup dealing with potentially a couple weeks injury and being affected at the start of the season? And how will that approach or how will that affect your approach finding an answer at that backup spot?
I mean, there's a couple of things you've got to juggle with all these injuries, right? You got the safety position where, you know, you're hoping that they're back, but do they know enough to, you know, to go out there and execute? And then you've got a position like Mitch where typically you only carry one on the active in addition to Josh, your starter. And so is it going to marry up to Mitch being ready to go in time? I don't know that for sure. You know, we just got to wait and see on that. And I know Mitch is as tough as they come and he's going to work his butt off to get back for the team. So we just got to, like all these things, stay on them and communicate one day at a time here and get continual updates from Nate, our training staff. And it affects a lot of things. It affects practice. It affects the game this weekend. And it'll potentially affect the start of the season for a lot of those positions.
And then just really quickly, lastly, on Andreessen, how much position flexibility, we saw him play in place of Terrell at the Mike spot. How much flexibility does he have to potentially play both spots?
Yeah, so we trained him that way. Coach Holcomb trained him that way early on. And then, I don't know, probably just a couple weeks ago, I believe it was, we moved him over just strictly to middle. And he's really flourished there of late, as you saw the other night. So, you know, sometimes you just can't teach instincts, right? And you know, I know everyone wants height, weight, and speed and all that type of stuff. But dang it, man, if it isn't a football player at the end of the day is what we're looking at. We're not looking at track athletes here. We're looking at football players, and he's a football player, and I love it.
Backing up to what you said a few minutes ago about Mitch and not knowing, just not knowing where he's going to be at the start of the season, what about Mitch and MVS and Hamlin and Curtis Samuel? Any concern that these guys may miss the start of the season, considering they're week to week, and week to week is almost where the season's at.
Right. I mean, when you know that's when they're week to week, it becomes a concern. Now, some are more of a concern at this point, John, than others on that list that you just read. You know, but yeah, you do get concerned not only that they're back on time, but that they get the necessary practice time to get up to speed on, again, what we're doing, the detail of what we're doing. So having them back is one thing in a uniform, but are they able to get the practice reps they need, you know, leading up to the game? That's critical. So
can you say who you're more concerned about when it comes to week for the start of the season?
I can't go into that detail right now. Yeah.
That's fair. I just need to ask. When you talk about the second, the twos and this weekend, and with Mike Edwards at least coming back to walk through and maybe some more rep, getting some reps in, is there a chance that he might be able to play on Saturday?
No. He's strictly individual and only, walk through and only parts of individual with the hope that eventually he can do all of individual. I think that would be the goal even for the end of the week. This week. So, that's the current plan for him right now.
Thanks for clarifying that. And lastly, I mean, you did talk about Mitch and how the offense is produced, is there a concern that this team hasn't scored a touchdown yet in two preseason games?
That's all yes and no. That's when you're not scoring points on offense, it is a concern. Yeah, because that's what we're looking to do on offense. That said, I think if you dive into it, right, and you're saying you're looking at why, I think there's been some times where we've moved the chains enough to get into a rhythm, and then we shoot ourselves in the foot, as I mentioned. And so I'll start there with the pre-snap discipline. Anymore in this league, you've got to drive the length of the field, or you have to have potentially 9, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 play drives to score a touchdown. That's where the league is of late, at least. And so in order to do that, you've got to just stack one good play after another. And that's what we, to this point, have failed to do enough to light up the scoreboard the way we want to. And so some of that's detail that leads to execution. And again, it takes all 11 guys to be on their details and the discipline in order to get that level of play that we're looking for.
Just checking a couple simple facts. Hamlin, what is his injury?
Hamstring.
Right. And then James Cook, he's okay, I presume, right? He came out of the game okay?
Yes, he did.
Right. And then, you know, just from the strictly lastly, from Josh Allen's perspective, I mean, there's been a bunch of years where he didn't play in the third preseason game. Josh Allen, on the list of your concerns, Josh not playing in the third preseason game is not really much of an issue. Would you agree with that?
I was not planning to play. I was planning to play him this past week. If the weather had cooperated on dry, on a good surface there. But because the weather turned out to be the way it was, you know, I told you why I made the decision I did the other night. This week, I was not planning to play him anyway. So it was going to give him an extra week to do his thing here. So, but he's in a good spot. Overall, as a team, I would say, Mark, that we've got to continue. I mean, really, as we all know, who've been around for a while, it's usually four preseason games. And that fourth week, you kind of, you know, you pull back on the ones. Now we're having to do it in the third week, where I was planning on playing the ones at least a quarter, you know, maybe slightly more. And so now the important thing for us is we have to use practice to continue to get ourselves sharp and sharpened for the season, because training camp is still not over, and nor is the preseason by any means. So that realization, that awareness for us as a team, for our players, for our staff is critical right now.
Think about the return game, and specifically Daquan Hardy back there on Saturday night. I think 5 returns.
Yeah, you know what? We've got a Daquan's a young player, so the decision making needs work, right? So he knows that, I know that, and so we've got to be intentional about exposing him to some of those situations where he has to make a tough decision, under pressure, I'll call it, right? And so I think we can improve a lot in that area. But overall, I thought he took a step in terms of, I mean, he had one good one in there. He hit it pretty good the week before. I thought he was a little hesitant this week, a little bit better. So just, you know, that returner piece for us on our roster is something we've been looking at for a few years in terms of who can really lock that thing down. And so a big part of it is who's a good decision maker, who can track the ball. And in particular in our stadium where the wind, you know, tends to blow a little bit here. So he'll get another opportunity this weekend, and we're looking forward to him taking another step for us.
And have you seen enough from the kickoff stuff, you know, through two games? I mean, seems like there's just so much to consume, and there's only limited opportunities, I guess, right? Especially in a 9-3 football game. Have you seen enough to kind of know where you want to take this thing either way?
Man, oh man, we're working on it. You know, I mean, we're scouring the film. I know Coach Smiley, Coach Harkey are scouring the film. They're working with our players, working with our returners. There's just so much to be taken from every rep on both sides. I mean, we're sitting there looking at our kickoff return, but actually then we're flipping it over and looking at, you know, the opponent's kickoff. Are they doing something that we could learn from? And so it's just a lot of growth mindset, and a little bit of beg, borrow, and steal at this point, you know? So it's a work in progress. So.
Question for you is, how important is it now we're having 16 players that you can have on practice squad, and especially in your development? It seems like you and your staff, since you've been in Buffalo, have been very good at developing players. And I noticed this year, it looked like Zach Davis is one of your guys that's developing quite well. How does that? Because when I looked him up, it looked like he's been with the Bills for almost 2 years now, and now he's developing into a player that now can play on, it looks like could play on a regular basis, possibly this upcoming season. How important is that sixth expansion of the practice squad?
Well, it is. It's big. You know, you get a chance to use it in different ways. You'll have, you know, a set of young players on there that you're really only there for developmental purposes, and then you'll keep some older players on there that you know you need. Hey, early in the year, if we get an injury, they've got to go in. And so it's changed over the years, the complexion of it, George. Mm-hmm. Specific to Zach, he's done a phenomenal job. I think Brandon and his staff, did a great job of acquiring Zach 2 years ago, I believe it was. Last year, he blew his knee out. That's why one of the reasons why he didn't show up, as you're referring to him showing up this year. And then his work ethic, his everyday energy, that he brings to our club, and then the work that he's put in with Coach Boris and that whole tight end group has been impressive.
Yeah, what goes into making a decision when something like that happens, when a player comes with an injury, in this case, his case, blowing out his knee? How do you determine, hey, let's keep this, we see something in this guy? How do you determine instead of waving him, injured, waived, or whatever the case may be for waving, but deciding to hold on to a player of that nature?
I mean, we care for all of them. There's just so many things situationally that you go through roster wise that sometimes you can keep a guy, sometimes you can't. To your point, when a young man shows promise like he did, you know, you try and do your best to hang on to him. Not always able, so it's almost on a case by case basis what you can do.
And last question for you, Joe Andreessen, the linebacker from UB. I noticed, I always go back to what Bill Parcells always said about, he was talking about quarterbacks at the time, is 4-year starters, guys that play many reps as possible in college, that seems to transcend over. And then now going back into Joe's case, I noticed that Bryant College, he played, in one year at Bryant College, he had 116 tackles. In that season, I was like, wow, that's very impressive. And then last year he had 90 at UB. Does it tend that guys who may have played, even though it's at a smaller college or may not be totally what do you call it, a power conference of college football, guys that get in those reps and for a full 4 years, those guys seem to be able to transcend into the professional football a lot easier than some of these guys that come out early and come into the league?
Well, I think there's a lot in your question and what you're asking there, George. You know, overall, they're coming out early, not coming out early. I mean, there's a lot going on in college football that I don't want to venture to talk about. But, you know, at the end of the day, Joe's a football player. He's got instincts. All the numbers that you mentioned, those come from being a good football player and having the instincts and the desire and the heart and the toughness to go get it. And I mean, at the end of the day, no matter if it's football or life in general, that's a lot of what separates people, and Joe's a great example of it.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.